Focus. Here on News Radio KMAN, I'm Nick McNamara. And now we have a big-time guest. Kansas 66th District Representative Sydney Carlin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good to be with you this morning.
Of course. And we're here to talk about, and I'm sorry.
Sarah Fisher.
Slipped my mind
along,
there.
Came along with Sydney to promote a little bit DAR and Constitution Week and fun stuff like that.
Let's have Sydney put on your headphones. That'll eliminate that little feedback squeal that we have there. See how that works?
I told you.
Yes. Okay.
See, all right. We're all learning here together.
Yes, we are.
It's fun. It's fun. You know, every day is a new day when there's always something that we didn't know before.
And that's what Constitution Week is all about. It's about learning. We're supposed to be learning about the Constitution, its history, what it includes, what it doesn't include, all that fun stuff. So I'm going to let Sydney's going to talk about the Constitution Week for DAR and the history of that, and then I'm going to talk about some of the fun things I learned.
Of course. Tell us all about Constitution Week coming up this upcoming week.
Constitution Week is September 17th to the 23rd, and the DAR celebrates it every year and actually was responsible for developing Constitution Week. I don't remember what year, I'm sorry, but for many years, and I'm chairman of the committee of the DAR for that. So what I do is organize some folks to help me with getting the word out to the schools. A few years ago, the state passed a law that you must teach about the Constitution during this week in our public schools. And also, the federal government has also passed that law. So we were talking with teachers yesterday afternoon, gave them some materials to hand out to their students. And also, I heard them, as I left, I heard the convener, Lucas Shiver, say that, you know, by law, national and state law, we must teach this week. So, you know, there's different ways to teach about the Constitution, but the Constitution is the framework of our government. It's not government, it's the framework. And so there's all kinds of directions they can go, and it was interesting to hear what they were planning to do in the classrooms. But we are going to be presenting a flag on behalf of the DAR to Ogden School District, and the children will be out, some of them at least, will be out with us to receive the flag. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to meet with them, and that is bell ringing time. There's something called Bells Across America to celebrate the Constitution, and everybody is asked to ring a bell for a minute at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it is just kind of a cool deal to just pick up a bell and ring it for a minute. We were just thinking about getting a hold of K-State and asking them to ring the bell.
And what does that bell signify?
Freedom, I think.
Let freedom ring.
You know, it's just, yes, it's like our Liberty Bell.
My understanding is it's something that's supposed to be, it's time all across the country at the same time. So this idea that we hear bells ring from coast to coast sounds very romantic to me.
Of course.
Yeah.
And can you tell me how y'all first got involved with Constitution Week and the Daughters of the American Revolution?
Well, you know, it's just something that you've heard about DAR forever. I don't know quite what it is. It is a group of women, daughters of the American Revolution, whose relative, ancient relative, fought in the Revolutionary War. So you have to get into your genealogy and prove your lineage to that soldier, and then you have to prove that that soldier actually fought in the war. And I'm actually the eighth generation from my soldier, and it's been a while since I've thought about the process, but we do have someone in our organization. It's Jan Wickman, and she has developed a really easy path to figuring this out, and she works with new members or applicants to help them.
Because of Jan, we are the biggest chapter in the state of Kansas. It's one of many, actually, lineage societies is what they call them. And I suppose, I don't know, Sydney, if she's in others, but I'm also in the Mayflower Society, which is kind of cool. Our next meeting, if you think you might be a potential member or you might have someone in your family that was sympathetic to the Patriot cause, which is really pretty cool because you don't, it's not just a soldier. If you did anything to promote the Patriots, if you loaned them a horse, if you gave them shelter, if you gave them food, you can, that our next meeting is October the 6th.
Now, is that the, no, don't want to confuse people, and I'm already confused. The Mayflower Society is different.
I'm also, that's true. That's true.
We probably are both members of the Daughters of the American Colonists.
That's my bad.
And the colonists are the one that if you gave aid to a soldier or this democracy or the action, the revolution, then you got to be a member of the American Colonists. But you had to show that you did something, someone in your heritage did something to promote the establishment of this new country.
So are they a, kind of a related group then with between each other?
Yes, they are related in at least in the fact that you prove lineage and that you have a part of history in your family, and that, you know, if you're in one, you're probably eligible for another.
And do you have any trouble going back genealogically to figure that out? I mean, going back that many generations, I can imagine it's a bit of a task.
My sister did most of the work for me. And she was very interested in genealogy, and she was a family therapist, and she cared about, you know, families and how they worked. And so she was looking at our families going back, and she came upon a paycheck that was written to our soldier. And that's what, it's online, it's available, and I didn't do that research. Did you do yours,
no,
Sarah?
No, my mother did mine. Uh-huh. But Jan will help you. If you, yeah.
All right. And can you tell me a little bit about, if you want to attend any events going on in Constitution Week in the area, where they might go to do that?
Well, the middle schools, I've contacted one of the instructors at the middle schools, and I know that they're going to do something to acknowledge it. And I think many of the elementary schools, Bluemont School, will be doing something. DAR can come in, they can do programs, they can do assemblies, they can provide materials. And again, the whole mission is that we make opportunities, we create opportunities for students and adults to learn about the Constitution, because I think many of us think we know a little bit about it, but might be surprised at the what's really there and what the Constitution is really about.
And I understand that, you know, you have written here, it's a living document. Can you tell me a little bit about your thoughts regarding that and how that applies to everything?
Cindy?
Well, you know, as a representative, I work with the laws and the framework of our government, and we are able to change laws within our own state and federal government, but they all can be reviewed to see if they fit within the Constitution. You hear the word constitutional. And when a citizen is offended by a law, they have the right to go to court to seek judgment on whether the law is written as it was within the framework of our Constitution. And that's what judges do in courts. They select, you know, they sort out the problems that we have and decide if our laws that we've written are just. And they're written, and the courts really have the final say. There's something in my ears. I'm sorry. I'm hearing something.
Oh, there's a little bit of bleed. There's a little bit of bleed through sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit of bleed. Thank you. It's gone.
It's all right. It's all right. I can hear you just fine. The listeners can hear you just fine. Okay. And that's what's important. And in Topeka, they hear you just fine. That's important, too.
Thank you. Well, the Constitution was written to protect the citizens from its government, to keep us having an elected president, to prevent monarchy, and to be sure that the people, the minority, is protected from the majority. So that's where you go to court to figure it out from time to time.
And I see here on the website related that there are some youth programs related to this, and like an essay contest is one of them. Do you know much about that? Can you tell me about that?
Well, I had a son who used to enter that contest every year, and Yes. We have them write about a topic. I remember that he won the year they wrote about Benjamin Franklin. And he enjoyed reading about it. He just read every kid's book you could get on Benjamin Franklin and learned so much. So then they write an essay. They present it to our meeting, and we select winners. A committee selects mm-hmm. winners. And then they can go to the state. If they win, they can go to a national competition. And I'm not exactly sure what the prizes are, but it may say it on there. It's thousands of dollars of scholarship money awarded to students that participate.
That's fantastic.
But again, that's an opportunity for students to learn things they might not otherwise learn. For instance, did you know that Benjamin Franklin was the oldest signer of the Constitution, and he had to literally be carried in on, I don't know the name of him, but it would have been before, probably wheelchairs. He had to be carried to the convention in Philadelphia to be a part of that.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's often considered, I think, the grandfather or something. I think that's the term they give to Benjamin Franklin. It's pretty cool, some of the history that comes from the framing of the Constitution.
Yes, definitely. So. And I believe we have a caller. Caller, you're on in focus. Go ahead.
You know, Ms. Carlson, we're living history right now today. It's surprising, as upset as the people here in Manhattan are. It's similar to the Boston Tea Party with all the water and the flood. Your Kansas laws say that they don't need, the real estate people don't need to tell the renters that they're renting in a flood zone. We need to have you rewrite that, as long as you're talking about rewriting things, the laws that you're in charge of. Thank you so much for all your efforts.
Thank you. I agree with you. There are disclosure laws, and that is ridiculous, that people can rent an apartment or live in a house that could flood. And especially within communities, the real estate folks that are there know that, and it's not hard to know. Our host said he lost his apartment in Garden Way. And I have had two nieces that have lived there and lost things and their cars. And, you know, this is a horrific thing. And, you know, if you just even are warned to get out and get your car out, that's one thing. The rents are supposedly less expensive in those areas, but I would have to look to see. Manhattan rents are very high.
Well, I think that speaks to when the caller used the term rewrite your laws, and I think that speaks to what we mean by a living document. You know, one of the phrases that I found when I was studying suggests that Thomas Jefferson argued that the Constitution was written vaguely intentionally because in order to accommodate for social and technological changes. I would predict that the framers didn't consider the fact that you might have cars that were flooded. You know, so the idea that you could interpret or you could use this document to help us guide laws relevant to the social and the technological changes of the day.
200 years later and plus.
Right.
That's what's the amazing thing about our Constitution.
And I believe you said that you were down there during that event, right? You ended up going down to see Garden Way.
I went down mid-morning, and everything was under control as far as, you know, our EMS folks were on top of everything. The fire department was there when I came, and I talked to some fire department members. And they had gotten everybody out by that point, and they were going to start pulling cars out later. Water was going down, but this is about the fourth or fifth time in my political life that this has happened to that area.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a few events going on there repeatedly. But let's go back to a little more about Constitution Week and the events related to that and all of that. Can you tell me a little bit about what you've learned being a part, in addition to some of the things you mentioned, what you've learned being a part of the Daughters of the American Revolution and participating in Constitution Week?
Well, I feel like I've learned a lot in this week as I'm preparing. For instance, the September the 17th, the reason it's the week of the 17th is because that was when the first signatory, which was George Washington, signed the Constitution. It took another couple of years before he had enough signatures. Something that I was discussing actually with my mom on the way over here was, do you know the word democracy is actually not in the Constitution? Our government is referred to as a republic, which there's some, you know, nuances, the difference between a republic, a democratic republic But we are not a true democracy. We are a republic. Some other interesting things, for instance, the separation of church and state is actually not in the Constitution. We throw around words like the Bill of Rights. What exactly is the Bill of Rights? The Bill of Rights are the first 10 amendments. Rhode Island, I understand, didn't sign the Constitution until after these 10 amendments were added. They were not very happy with the original Constitution. So there's been some interesting things that I have taken for granted most of my adult life that I have learned this week about our structure of government.
You mentioned that the separation of church and state isn't in the Constitution. Could you elaborate a little on that?
If you read the Constitution, which I did, by the way, last night, I mean, it did help me go to sleep. Some of the language is kind of archaic. Oh, I shouldn't probably use that word. But yet nowhere in there it talks about freedom of religion, but it doesn't talk about that. It explicitly says that the state shall not set up a state religion, which is, I guess, interpreted as
separation of
church. I think
that's the separation of church and state. How does it say it? Shall not establish
an official religion.
Which had been that's what happened in England. And when I went to visit on a vacation to England, London, and toured churches, they had all been Catholic until Martin Luther, and then the country established an official religion, which was not Catholic. And when I could see that, and I have become Catholic as an adult, I was raised as a Methodist, but it was amazing to see what they took from another religion. Mm-hmm. Those buildings, those huge, wonderful churches, cathedrals, and, you know, they are not Catholic anymore. They were built to be Catholic. It was a tumultuous time in the Catholic Church, and the popes were, you know, not quite doing what we would like them to do. But anyway, at the time, that was the solution that England came up with. And we didn't want that to happen in this country.
And that was how the establishment of the Church of England came about. That's what you're referring to there.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and it being official Church of England, and they actually took the buildings from the Catholic Church and made it their own. So it was just an interesting thing to learn by visiting. You know, you learn a lot of things reading, but to see it was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing here on the website for the Daughters of the American Revolution about the Manual for Citizenship. Could you talk to me a little bit about that?
Well, what does it say there? I'm sorry. What is your question? We have a test that Sarah said she took the test to eighth graders about the Constitution. We could talk about that.
Yeah, that works.
But the Manual for Citizenship, I'm sure, is what was developed for people to study to become a citizen.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're referring to. Oh, sorry. That's exactly what they're referring to there. It's a tool in the classroom to demonstrate basically how to become naturalized and things to learn.
Right. And the DAR website is a very good tool for people to use for... We're out of time.
We are, yeah.
That was fast.
Went fast.
Lost track of time there.
Got a lot of good information, though.
Thank you.
Great to have you in. Good job,
Nick. Thank you for coming in.
It was fun.
Coming up next on K-Man's lineup, Clark Howard, then Rush Limbaugh, Dan Patrick, the game this afternoon, and Manhattan High football. Have a great weekend.
KS State Bank wants to be your bank. Find the solution you've been looking for at ksstate.bank. KS State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing.